At the time of this recording, it is Thursday, October 28th. It's been a busy day on Tax Twitter. It's been a busier day on Capitol Hill. For the past few months, President Biden and congressional Democrats have been trying to work together on a couple different packages. We were talking infrastructure, we're talking larger reconciliation, and we're talking just tax reforms further than the eye can see. This morning, President Biden met with the House Democratic Caucus to reveal a $1.85 trillion social spending plan. And with this, we have a lot of spending going on, and we have a lot of tax changes going on. I'm joined today by our senior policy analyst, Garrett Watson, here on the Deduction Podcast. Garrett, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
How's life?
Well, it's staying busy with different tax proposals being born and dying every day over this past week. So It has kept us very busy.
Yeah. So give us just brief history. What number framework is this that we've seen? Do you know off the top of your head?
Right. So this is the product of just ongoing negotiations between the House, the Senate, and the White House on what taxes will be used to fund a package between $1.5 and $2 trillion. And this has been an ongoing thing since the House released their bill text and proposal in mid-September. And now we've landed on what seems to be coming between a $1.7 and a $2 trillion bill with tax increases on the wealthy and corporations. It's just a matter of how they're deciding to do it.
Yeah, and I'm looking through some of the spending priorities that this package entails. Looks like we get some money for childcare and preschools, some clean energy and climate investment stuff going on, some Obamacare subsidies going on as well, housing, higher education, immigration even. Could you talk us through some of the funding mechanisms that are being proposed here that we seem to have maybe an agreement on, at least in the House?
Right. So big picture is due to opposition in the Senate, most notably by Senator Sinema, the House and the Senate in this framework have abandoned raising tax rates on corporations and on higher earners. So the top tax rate on ordinary income remains 37%, 21% corporate rate. Capital gains tax rates remain where they were. But instead, because they still need to raise revenue, they've swapped out those rate hikes with some fairly novel, untested, and potentially complicated provisions. The three big ones I'd want to point to are a minimum tax on corporate book income of 15%. This is something the president posed and campaigned on, and we're seeing it come back alive after we thought it might not make it earlier on. We're looking at a buyback tax of 1% on buying back stocks for corporations. Finally, there is a new surcharge on higher earner incomes above $10 million of 5%, and then it rises to 8% for income over $25 million. And that's really aimed at trying to tax the wealthy. We saw a version of this in the House proposal, and it's come back again because of the other proposals, including most notably a tax on billionaire unrealized capital gains, didn't make it due to opposition in the Senate.
I was reading a story and they said something along the lines of unrealized capital gains is now in the public zeitgeist, so it'll be around forever. I'm not quite sure if the average American could tell you what unrealized capital gains are this year or next year or maybe even ever. That is besides the point, though. So it seems like we've dropped a billionaire's tax in exchange for a millionaire's tax. Is that correct?
That's one way to think about it. And this tax is broader in that it will tax all of their income, including realized capital gains, wages, business profits. That will all be taxed. It's a broader group of folks, too. The billionaire tax is going to tax about 700 people who are billionaires in the U.S. This could hit upwards of 100,000 people. Still a narrow tax relative to the U.S. population, but much broader than what we were seeing under the billionaire's tax.
Yeah. So from all the tax proposals that are here, you used some words to describe them. You said untested, maybe unreliable. Is there any good tax proposal you see in this package? Is there anything you give the Garrett Watson A+ approval on?
Well, we'll have to see how some of these details shake out when it comes to the many tax credits. They've, of course, decided to move forward with the expanded child tax credit for 1 year. It's not great that that could become an extender because they'll have to come back to that credit next year to decide what they want to do with it. It's possible that with the many clean energy credits, which is going to total over $500 billion, there might be an opportunity for simplification there. Senator Wyden has actually been pretty good on understanding that we need to simplify and streamline the many raft of credits that exist there. Even if we're not fully on board with those credits existing in the code, simplification and rationalization is always a good thing. So there might be an opportunity there that's that constructive element of the bill, even if some of the other tax hikes are not that great and are, as you said, pretty untested and complicated.
Gotcha. Are there any taxes here you think are bad? Just straight up, you don't like them.
I think the corporate book minimum tax is not an effective way to build on the corporate tax right now. It's got a lot of problems in that it stops corporations from being able to fully deduct the cost of their investments, which in our view and our estimates is one of the more pro-growth elements of the tax code. It makes the tax code more complicated in that it's going to hand over some of the tax base and the calculation of tax for corporations over to financial accounting standards and accountants. And it may not even be effective at ensuring that corporations pay 15%, because many tax credits and other provisions that lower their amount of tax that they owe are still going to exist under this tax. So it's really not a constructive move forward. It might be marginally better than a large corporate rate hike, but that's not saying much. It really is a step away from a more simple tax code, and that's particularly problematic. I think the second place where there should be a lot of questions is on this buybacks tax, taxing stock buybacks. It's really meant to try to incentivize corporations to, instead of providing cash back to their shareholders by buying back stock, to invest. The problem is there's really no evidence that that's going to encourage additional investment. Firms make investment decisions based on the opportunities available to them, and taxing buybacks does not create more opportunities. On the contrary, it's just going to incentivize them to either sit on this cash further or to provide cash in other ways, for example, providing more dividends.
For those two taxes, are those things that have been on the table this entire time, or is it because there was opposition to the higher corporate rate, these things are kind of being folded in last minute here?
The minimum tax at one point was a live proposal under the Biden administration, but was sort of tossed aside under the earlier House version of these proposals, but did come back because of the opposition to raising tax rates. And so both this and the buybacks tax you can really see as being swapped for the higher corporate rate, and the surcharge on millionaire incomes is sort of swapping in for the higher rates on the wealthy. The problem, of course, is each of these proposals is more complicated than a straight rate hike. And that does create the risk that there will be drafting errors and issues that need to be worked out in the regulatory side for the IRS and Treasury. Of course, they're already overburdened, but there is going to be higher risk here that there's going to be unforeseen consequences, which we saw even in the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act process as they're trying to rush to get this done between now and the end of the year.
Yeah, yeah. Some of those self-imposed deadlines can be Congress's own worst enemy. One question I wanted to ask you in terms of at least the White House estimates for how much they're going to raise from these proposals. They are increasing IRS investments to help close this tax gap, which we've talked about at length on this podcast and on our website. They are projecting that will raise $400 billion. Is that, that feels higher than even previous estimates they've said before. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, it was striking how high that number is. We have seen a number ranging around $120 billion, assuming the IRS is invested with an additional $80 billion. That comes from an estimate from the Congressional Budget Office. The $400 billion number is quite high, and it'll be important to get information on how they expect to recoup that revenue from additional investments in the IRS. It's also notable to mention that the proposal to report additional information from banks on gross inflows and outflows of bank activity has been abandoned here. So the revenue number here has nothing to do with that reporting. That's been nixed due to privacy concerns and concerns about how to administrate that proposal. And this is sort of a common theme with some of these numbers by the White House, which is that the revenue numbers are seem optimistic. For example, the revenue amount for reforming corporate activity internationally is at $350 billion. That seems pretty high compared to the numbers we saw earlier, which were closer to $200 or $250 billion. And that's important because they're trying to make sure that this is fully offset. The spending is about $1.75 trillion. So they have a little bit of wiggle room, but not a ton to make sure that the numbers add up.
So, Garrett, you walked us through the good that's in this proposal, the bad that's in this proposal. I think it's really up to lawmakers and taxpayers to decide if the investments are the right ones at this time. You know, that's what voters are for. But what's next here? I've heard on the Twitters that Pelosi wants a vote today, being Thursday. This podcast might come out later on Thursday. Do you think that happens? And do you think it even clears the Senate if that happens? And do you think Biden signs this in Rome if that happens?
So it does sound like they are trying to use this framework as a way to encourage folks to take a vote, at least on the bipartisan infrastructure bill that is something they might try to whip votes on and get votes on as soon as this weekend. It will really depend on how progressives see this framework, whether or not it's credible and it meets their goals. There's a lot that was cut out, of course, over the past week or so. Paid leave, free community college, various healthcare expansions were cut out here. So we'll really have to see how they interpret this and whether or not they want to see bill text. That seems to be a big sticking point right now to see if this will move forward both in its current form and lead to an infrastructure vote. The other, I think, second big remaining question is all the little smaller items that were in the House version of this proposal that didn't make it in, including most notably, of course, the state and local tax deduction, uncapping that or making the $10,000 limit more generous. That didn't show up in the House bill before. It doesn't show up in this framework language. We're still hearing reports that it's being considered, but that's another big outstanding question that will change the distribution of this of these tax changes and the overall cost.
Yeah, and even with those reports, all they say is it'll be in there. But what's exactly. It exactly? It could be many things. It could even be paprika. Sorry, there's no other seasoning tax acronyms that I'm aware of yet. Well, Garrett, thanks for walking us through this. How can people stay up to date with you on the latest of this package and everything else going on?
You can find me personally on Twitter at @GS_Watson. And of course, follow all of our analysis at taxfoundation.org.
Yeah, and if you want to follow me, I mostly just retweet Garrett nowadays. So I'm at Solis Jesse. Thanks for tuning into this episode of The Deduction. We'll be sure to update you guys next time when we have more on this package.